Chicago's Afternoon News 720 WGN. It's a story that a lot of people are talking about. It involves a Chicago alderman, low-income housing, and a lot of people who really don't want to talk, which is kind of the Chicago way. David Jackson is on the phone. David joined the Better Government Association as a senior investigative reporter in August 2020. He had been a Chicago Tribune investigative reporter since 1991, except for a year at the Washington Post, where he shared the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for Public Service for articles on citizens shot by police. You certainly know what you're doing. How are you doing today, David?
Good to be with your GN family. Thank you for having me.
How long did it take you to do all the investigative research to put this story out?
This was a story that was lying in plain sight, Lisa. It was just sitting there, and we got a call from a church member in the Cabrini-Green area who tipped us off that we ought to take another look at this story. And so we spent a very hectic but productive about 6 weeks putting this story together.
And the story surrounds a city council member, Alderman Burnett, and also a group called Omni. And those churches you talked about, they received some money in this deal as well, right?
This is a story, Lisa, as you put it, a quintessential Chicago story. A group of churches had, back in the 1970s, created a really remarkable racially mixed and financially diverse community called Atrium Village. It sat on the corner of Division and Wells Streets on the near north side of Chicago. And they very deliberately constructed it kind of to be a bridge between Cabrini-Green, the Chicago housing complex, and the Gold Coast, one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in America. And it was a really a success. In around the mid-2014 period, they sold it for $50 million, sold that whole land development, about 7 acres, to a big, big, big Canadian developer called Ani Group. And Ani is a multinational developer. They have projects all across America and south of the border and all over Canada. And what Ani wanted to do was to tear down Atrium Village and put up 4 high-rise luxury apartment developments. And in Chicago, we have an ordinance, essentially a city rule or law, that says that you have to set aside a certain percent of big developments for affordable tenants. And Ani wanted out of that. But in Chicago, we also have a system where aldermen are very powerful. In this case, as you mentioned, Alderman Walter Burnett really controlled whether this development was going to go forward or not. And essentially what we found, Lisa, is that Ani Group hired a good friend of the alderman, one of his campaign consultants, a gentleman named Mazan Jackson, better known as Maze Jackson. He has a radio show, but he's also a lobbyist and a political consultant. And they paid him more than $400,000 specifically to lobby Alderman Burnett, to get Alderman Burnett to kind of go along with Ani's desire not to build in the affordable housing. And lo and behold, and Ani made a bunch of other donations to a charity controlled by the alderman's wife and a political committee controlled by the alderman's wife. And lo and behold, over the next few years, the alderman softened his stance, his opposition to Ani's desire not to build the affordable housing, and they reached a compromise. And that's what our story is really about. They essentially, instead of building 4 spectacular, beautiful glass luxury high-rise towers, Ani just built 3 of them, and they left one of the old Atrium Village buildings there on the site, and they put all the affordable housing in, or most of it, in that one building. And so that really riles, even to this day, and disappoints a lot of residents who sort of see it as almost a throwback.
It's a slap in the face.
Yeah, they do. They see it as a kind of a throwback to a clustering all of the affordable people in one older building and excluding them from the high rises.
And complaints from those people were heard because they were promised that they would have better housing, correct?
Yes, yes. And really, Ani's obligation under the law was really clear. And one of the things we did, Lisa, was look into, well, what happened inside City Hall? And we got a hold of a lot of emails and sort of communications between City Hall aides. And they were very clear that they felt that Ani was trying to skirt the requirements that it had, that it had to set aside a certain amount of these units as affordable, but it also had to disperse them equally throughout the project. And I think that's really the big thing we learned, Lisa. It's not just you have to set aside a certain portion, but you have to not cluster all the affordable tenants, for example, on one floor or in one area. But Ani, at the end of the day, got around that.
David, is this an example of one of the problems with aldermanic prerogative?
A lot of people have said that in the wake of our article, and I think that's a fair question. It's absolutely clear that the alderman in Chicago has what are sometimes called extra-parliamentary powers. In other words, it's not really written into law that an alderman can put a brick on a development or stop a project. There's nothing specifically in the law that sort of says that, but it's an accepted practice in Chicago, and clearly that is one of the things that happened here. This alderman, Burnett, is very clearly kind of guiding what can happen in his ward. And Alderman Burnett's ward, which stretches from the near west side of Chicago through Greektown and into the near north side, happens to be the most lucrative, development-rich ward in Chicago, we found. So he controls roughly 30% of the developments, according to our analysis, that would be subject to these affordable housing requirements.
And David, in your article, you did point out that no other city council member approaches Burnett's impact on affordable housing and construction in Chicago, and that he did grow up in Cabrini Green. He said this is something very near and dear to his heart, but to people who are there, it feels like they were let down and lied to. In his participation with your investigation, was it limited?
Alderman Burnett, we spent a lot of time trying to get him to talk to us. We wish we could have had a more frank, on-the-record conversation with him. We met him at City Hall. We met him in the offices of one of his political strategists. Alderman Burnett ultimately would not talk in a fulsome way on the record about this. He gave us a very, very limited amount of time in which he would agree to answer questions. And we really tried to appeal to his power as a public servant here. His defense, Lisa, was that in essence, he really felt like he was trying to do his best for the tenants of Atrium Village who were being pushed out, in many cases sort of swept out and evicted in the winter. His defense was that his powers were limited and he did everything he could. And yes, as you point out, he grew up in Cabrini Green, and he told us that he takes this issue very personally and tries to fight as hard as he can for low-income tenants.
David, I only have 30 seconds left, but this is my feeling when I read the story. When I said it's kind of the Chicago way, I feel like there's no direct connection of money being funneled to Alderman Burnett, but it's interesting that people around him greatly benefited those very close to him, and that is kind of what we identify as part of the Chicago way, correct?
It is, and the other really big point to me is that Chicago has I'm a native Chicagoan. I was born in Chicago Lion-In Hospital. Chicago has a shameful history of segregation, and efforts like Atrium Village were really a kind of a counterpoint to that history. And it's amazing to see that get swept aside. And we now have yet again a very stratified, bifurcated kind of community.
Thank you for putting 6 weeks of research into the article. I encourage everyone to read it. This is David Jackson, Better Government Association, Senior Investigative Reporter. Have a great day.
Good to be with y'all. Thank you.
Steve's got the news next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.